Good morning. Thank you for coming. If you're all here to talk about getting horizontal, you're in the wrong place. Get your mind out of the gutter. We're here to talk about table partitioning. And there it goes. And I'm going to wander around back and forth. My name is Brian Bowman. For those of you who don't know me, I've worked for Progress for a long time, 20 years. I've worked in the field, I worked in tech support. I was one of those evil pre-sales people for a while. But then, I know, Carol's over there hating me for it then. But I have actually come back into Progress, into the corporate fold, and I'm the product manager. I'm the product manager for the database, all the database utilities, as well as open source management and the admin server installations and platforms. So if you have questions around those, Rob and I kind of share the open edge world from a product management standpoint. So come find us and ask us. My email's at the end of this, and I'm happy to talk to you about it. So we're going to talk about table partitioning today. How many of you are in the right place? Everybody's in the right place. Good, good. As you can tell, it's going to be an interactive session. I'm not going to let you sleep. You'll have to pay a little bit of attention to the slides. I only have about 30 or 40,000 slides to go through, so it shouldn't be hard or fly through. No, I don't have that many. I think I have 18 or 19 or something. Rich Banville is here. He's going to talk this afternoon in more detail about table partitioning and do a demo of what it looks like, so you guys can actually see what it looks like. How many of you are in the Early Software Access Program? Okay, there's a couple of you. Everybody should raise your hand, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that later. It's good. Excellent. I like that. So with that, let's get started. So since technically table partitioning is not out yet, I have to put the disclaimer up. Right? It hasn't been released yet. Standard disclaimer, you know, things may change. They can always change. You never know. You just never know. So just so you know, that's the truth. And you know, the cynical side of me would say, oh, this means anything I say is a lie, so you just can't believe it. But that's not true. I try and be as honest as possible. So what I'm going to try and do today is talk about, you know, setting the groundwork. Cover a little bit of what table partitioning is at a high level, so you understand, so we're all on the same grounds in terms of understanding where it does, maybe some features and functionalities of what it works with. We're going to talk about the truth, about what do you want out of table partitioning. The design of this is really to talk about, at a business level, what does table partitioning mean to you as a user, as a DBA, as a programmer, or as an operator, as a systems operator. So it's more on that side and not on what are the bits and bytes of table partitioning. We can do that, but prefer not to go too deep if that's at all possible. Okay, and so how can it help you? How can you help yourself, and how can we help you with table partition? So, a couple of things come to mind. So, what problem are we really trying to solve when we deal with table partitioning? You know, the day we work in today, we all need to get more out of our databases. Is there anybody who wants to get less, who needs to get less out of their database? There's nobody. Good, so we're all in the right place. So we need to get more out of our databases. The problem is, that data complicates our worlds, and it continues to make our world harder and harder to deal with. How many of you have databases that are shrinking in size? Good, good. So neither do I. So we continue to struggle to move forward and try and find the tools that help us be more successful and easily be more successful, right? How many people have watched I lost the show House of Cards. Anybody? Okay, I have to blame one of my friends at Progress because they got me hooked on it. And if you haven't seen it yet, it's a Netflix series, and it's about politics in Washington. So, but it's really, I'm addicted to it now. So one of the quotes that this guy said, he's a congressman from Pennsylvania, but he has a southern draw, is treading water is the same thing as drowning for people like you and me. So today, if we're treading water as a database administrator in our world, we're almost drowning. We're not being able to keep up with our systems. If you can keep your system running exactly the way it is today, in 2 years, are you going to be successful? there's a good chance you're not going to be able to be successful. So we have to constantly have to work as DBAs, as the world, to try and figure out how to move forward. So what is table partitioning? So in the traditional sense, when we look at table partitioning, we're looking at, this is what a traditional database table might look like when you store it in your database. The example I'm using is an order table, because that seems like the easiest one that everybody can understand and everybody can deal with. So, table is stored in a single place, a single storage area, right? How many people are running type 2 storage areas? Let me do it the other way. How many people are running not type 2 storage areas? Oh, come on, you didn't all raise your hand. Okay, that's okay. You have an opportunity to get better. Yeah. There's growth opportunities. Queries can read the whole table, you know, do work processing against the whole table. And maintenance potentially is hard to perform. Any here? No, man, you left. Hard to form to the point where, let's say for example, you have a 2.1 terabyte database and 1.9 terabytes of that is a single table. How do you do maintenance on that? Well, one of our use cases, one of our case studies for one of our customers from Quantel, Maddie, that's exactly what he has. That's exactly what he has. It's one database, 2.1 terabytes, one table in that's 1.9 terabytes. So he struggles to hit this bar, to deal with his world. So that's an example of the traditional way. Let's talk about what table partitioning can do. Table partitioning gives you to be able to take that whole table and split it up into two separate partitions or n separate partitions. And I just happen to use two here, okay? Understand you can use more than just two. So tables are split into multiple safe, self-contained locations. Come back to that in a little bit. Queries access only what they need. If I need to access this data and this in here, I'm only going to access this. I'm only going to use the index that accesses this potentially as well, depending on how my query is written. And then from a maintenance standpoint, I can do maintenance on this part of it while somebody else is updating this part of it. We'll get into that in a little bit more detail. So at a high level, that's what table partitioning is. Why do you need it? Well, the first thing that people always talk about is to improve performance. And you can see that there's a few caveats that apply. And one of the things is always watch out, read the fine print. It's more interesting than the actual contract itself. Ultimately, what I want to set your expectations here are your mileage may vary. It can help you from a performance standpoint. It can't, okay? So keep that in mind. The whole concept is we're limiting data accessibility for efficiency's standpoint. Okay, we're improving our data access. We'll get to maintenance and availability. We'll talk about that a little bit more as well. So we are actually improving the availability of your data access potentially for your system. We utilize something internal called queries. I'm not going to go into much detail on pruning for queries. I'm not going to go into much detail on that. And an example is, you know, running a report for last year's data, right? Remember my table with two different dates in it? I'm only accessing one partition of that. So it could be more performant. An important key for you to understand is that the larger your database and the more users you have, the more you'll potentially see a performance gain. So that's important to understand. So what do you guys think a large database is? Give me some ideas. 500 gigabytes. Mr. Caddy comes in. What else? Is a 100 gigabyte database a large database?
No.
It can be. Absolutely. Who said it can be? All right. You're right. It can be. Because it really kind of depends on what you're looking at and what your business is and where your case study comes in. So it can be a large database. And you would think, you know, terabytes of database are a large database. Well, and a terabyte database is a large database. But I was talking to a customer 3 weeks ago about table partitioning, and we were talking about their database, and they're like, my database is really large. It's hard for me to manage. I do a lot of things. Table partitioning can really help and add value to me. I said, okay, so, you know, I knew the customer, but I didn't know how big their database was. I said, how big is your database? Oh, it's 250 gigabytes. And for them, that's a large database. And table partitioning can help in that environment, absolutely, to do some of the maintenance and other stuff with it. So it's all relative. How big is your database, Dimitri?
1.5 terabytes.
1.5 terabytes. And that's what I would consider. That's definitely absolutely a large database. Maddie is talking on Wednesday about large database management and working and managing with large databases. So if you have the opportunity, that's a good presentation to go to Wednesday morning. So large databases, you'll see more opportunities with large performance with a larger database and more users. The concurrency and the use of the multiple users is actually becomes important when it comes to accessing that and performing. Okay? Make sense? Good. Any questions so far? Yeah?
When you keep on referencing partitions, are you talking about segments, database segments, as a database, D0, D1, D2, D3?
Good question. So yeah, whenever I'm talking about referencing partitions, am I talking about segments or areas?
Areas, right.
Or am I talking about the actual partitions? What I'm talking about is, if I go back to this question, I'm talking about this section down here. Okay, so it's not the physical structure, or it can be partially the physical structure, but it's more the logical structure of the database. So logically, if I take my order table, I can split it up into 2010, 2011, 2012 type of areas, of partitions. Now, those partitions, they can all exist together, or they can all exist in their own area, in separate areas. So I can separate them out. So I can physically structure them differently, as well as logically structure them differently.
The reason for the question, if you have like a disk array where you have super high disk, medium disk, low, slow disk, can you split up your partitions into disk-based areas so that the new stuff is on my flash disk, the 1-2 year old stuff is in that medium disk,
yep.
And then the stuff that's 2, 3, 4 years, 15 years old is on the archive disk.
Really, really slow.
Really slow disk. Yeah.
So to summarize, can you take a partition and break it up? In this example, he has multiple sets of disks, different types of disks. He has SSDs. He's got 15K drives, and he's got 7200K drives. Can you partition and break them up based on that? Absolutely, very good example. Because now you can take that historical data, which you may access once a year, or you really don't want your auditors to have fast access to it anyway. I'm sorry, any auditor tips? That was too late. So you want to give them the slowest as possible. So you can actually partition it across those different areas into those specific areas. Perfect example. Yeah? So the follow-up question is, so you can do all that without having to touch your disk or touch your app. Can you do it with table partitioning? And the answer is absolutely yes. That's a good thing, right? Yes, you can. And that's part of the design that Rich put into it, whenever he designed it and thought about it, is that you need to be able to do it online, you need to be able to do it with your existing application. Now, that being said, just like when I talk about multi-tenancy, when you talk about multi-tenancy, you can take your application and put it in a multi-tenant database and have multiple tenants across it, and it will run. However, you may need to optimize something around the systems to be able to have it work optimally, right? So when you get to the point of partitioning, one of the things that we realize and we talk about comes important with partitioning is make sure the partition is set up and you design the partition correctly, and you're using the right index for that partition. So that's what becomes really important, is the configuration part. And in that environment, much less has to happen on the application side than on the design side. So spend a little time designing it is kind of what I'm really saying. And I'm getting ahead of myself because that's placing my slides.
I know the slide's supposed to be simple illustrated, is there also another high-level partitioning index that has to be created to do partitioning?
I'll get to that. Hold that thought. You guys are getting way ahead of me. I'm just not going fast.
Move faster.
Exactly, move faster. Okay, lunch is coming, yeah, okay. Now I'm getting it. So we covered, you know, the first question, why do we need maybe for performance means? The second one is from a maintainability or maintenance standpoint. This is where we're only really working from a maintenance standpoint. I'm only really working with the parts of the data that I really need to work with or that I want to work with or that I need access to separate from the other rest of the data in the database. So what this allows us to do, we can go out and we can make the utilities run faster. We can do other things, only on specific partitions. Do people know the whole concept of storage objects in a type 2 database? Yes? Okay. Just a quick summary. A storage object is an object in the database that we can perform actions against. As an example, a table is a storage object, or an object. An index is an object. Things like that. So each partition is its own object in the database. So that's how it helps you be able to do that. So things like scanning, tuning, fixing additional stuff. An archiving solution. So an example of utilizing partitioning that some people don't think about is maybe an archive function. Maybe I don't have the ability to archive data off of my database. I don't have a purge or an archive mechanism in my application. So if I use this to effectively archive that older data into its own partition, then I can do work on that partition. I can move it aside and not have to worry about it again as I'm going forward and doing other maintenance stuff. So if I set up and design my backups right, I can set up so that I back up that archives area once, I can mark it as read-only, and then I do my incremental backups through my backups, and I don't have to access it again moving forward, potentially. So that's part of what you got to think about from a maintainability standpoint. Yeah, Tom.
So are you saying that go backup just a partition?
No, so the question is, can Pro Backup just backup a partition? No, not at this point in time. So it's still, Pro Backup is a database-wide solution. So part of what you can do is once you get a partition, the current thinking is we do a full backup of the database. Then you mark the area as a read-only area. And then you do incremental backups, and we don't back up that read-only area. We only back up the active data in the area. So that's part of the process we're going through. How many people are using incremental backup today? I think it's about 5 of you. Okay. Yeah?
What those schema change? Would that be applicable to the archive section?
Good question. The question is, what about schema change? Will that apply across all the partitions? Will it take, yes. So, and this question was asked, I think, either in Rob's thing or in Rob's presentation. And the answer is yes. It's still considered and acted and treated upon as a single database, a single table, even though you have partitions within the table. So I make a schema change, I add a field that's going to make it across the whole table, all the partitions, including the original table.
Can we do the split and the join on the fly? Let's suppose if I said I had two partitions, one with less than 2,000 and one with greater than 2,000. I feel I wanted to split even 2,000 into a little bit smaller.
So the question is, if you do your original partition and you have 2011, 2012, and then you want to take 2011 and split it out by H1 and H2 or something like
right.
that, what's your to that partition level? Rich, I'm going to defer to Rich on this because I think you can, but I'm not sure.
You actually can split partitions, further split them, So desired, there are certain locking characteristics to the data that's being split out, the data that's not being split, that's residence-less, those full access
capabilities. Cool. So, and in fact, now that you said that, I know exactly where it's coming from. Okay, so, why do you need it? Maybe from a maintenance standpoint. Good, excellent questions you guys are asking. So, an important note on this. Seeing maintenance advantages happens on most database sizes. It doesn't have to be larger the database, it doesn't have to be a smaller database. It really depends on what you're doing now and where do you want to do better. Remember back to the original question I asked? What problem are we trying to solve? What business problem are we trying to solve? If I need to have maintenance against my database, whether it's a 100 gigabyte database, or a 10 terabyte or a 23 terabyte database, this is what you have to look at and figure out how is it going to help you. So it could absolutely help you in any size. If you have a 1 gigabyte database and a 5-user system, it's not going to help you. I think I'm safe saying that. You can more than welcome to help. We're more than welcome to buy it. So, oh, I'm sorry.
It depends on how bad your code is.
It depends on how bad your code is. Absolutely, very important part. Your code could.
Blame those developers.
I'm sorry. Any other developers in the room?
I'm a developer, DBA as a DBA.
That's, you know what? Welcome to our world. That's the way it works. Okay, so maintenance helps you almost regardless of the database size within the reasonable time. That's what I'm trying to get across so you understand that. So what else can you do with partitions? Well, you can add, split, delete, merge, truncate, table move, index check, index rebuild, index fix, index compact. You can use DB tool, a binary double load, and potentially SQL double load. What else do you want to do with it? Anything else? This is your chance. Okay, sorry, too late.
I just specifically Rich said split, and I'm thinking that I started with 4 yearly partitions, but I suddenly work out the 3rd year's got 10 times more volume than the others, and I may want to readdress the whole partition ranges and say I'll take 1 year, 9 months, 3 months, 1 year. I mean, it's not just split. Can I move the boundaries on the partition? I'm guessing yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes, and it's by splitting them differently. So.
Yeah, well, split's not quite as splitting confers, I start with this and I subdivide it. I'm talking about changing the outer end, the boundaries completely.
Can they change the boundaries before I ever set that? And the answer is yes, you can set up that range. When I get to example of the range table, we'll come back to that, okay? Because I think it'll answer your question. Yeah.
You asked what all we need, kind of going back to the discussion we had before, relative to backing up and restoring. If you're going to have stuff where you have partitions, you can mark them as a more read-only type of thing or something to denote partitions. It'd be really nice if you could say, okay, I want a backup that includes everything, or I want a backup that is the stuff that's not marked as read-only. And then the ability to restore so that I can restore an older pool that includes the read-only, and then come by later with a fresh one, then a fresh backup that includes my non-archive areas, and lay that on top, with just that smaller one. Because if you're doing a migration then, okay, gee, I could take, all those 20, previous 19 years of stuff that's not changing, yeah. I can migrate that to a new system, I can do whatever I need to in terms of, dumping it, reloading it, or whatever I want to do with it, okay, and then all I got to do is come by later then with the, non-archived, objects.
Yep.
That would be...
Makes sense.
That would make a lot of sense in terms of, for people doing migrations and that type of thing.
Good. Migrations, we've talked about being able to do all these types of things. Migration is a good use case to understand why you need to, when you need to do that. Yeah.
The index rebuild, will I be able to do it online without shutting the database?
Good question. So the index rebuild, the question is, would you be able to do it online without shutting down the database? So the question is, are any of these utilities available online? Come on. Think about it.
They are online now.
They're all online now. You can do this all online. So I can do an index rebuild of a partition on effectively online. Now, part of the definition becomes online because we do lock that partition for the index repo. Yeah. But you know what? That's okay.
The rest of application could work.
Everything else seems to work fine. Yeah, I'll get to you.
So it's not about this, but for sure. So you asked what else I wanted, what we want. So I heard this morning that partitioning solves multi-tenancy. So that means I can now grant access at the partition level or at the table level to solve that. Is that how you're doing it?
So what you heard this morning is partitioning solves multi-tenancy.
I would
position a little bit different. I would say that multi-tenancy is a form of partitioning.
So you can grant access at partition level, not at the table level?
No. Oh, so you can grant access at, I missed the security part.
Yeah.
So the question is, you can grant access at the partition level, not at the tenant level. And the answer to that today is no, you can't. So I'd love to talk to you about that, so, because I that's an interesting thought. In the back.
Index rebuild, when did that become available online? Because I thought that was the one thing that you could do online.
It's available online for multi-tenant.
It's buildable online with multi-tenant. Maybe that's the key to. So the real index rebuild, you do have to shut it down. So that thing, that's. Darren, you had a question?
You have the analysis tools.
Yes.
On there, that was one thing. Can you do analysis on just that partition, where you're doing a database analysis against the whole database, it's just going to tell you some information about your partition?
I believe it's partition aware. So you can run it for a partition alone, for a single partition. So you don't have to run it across the whole database. Okay?
When you do the table partition, how exactly are you accessing the table?
I'll get to that.
Application.
I'll hold that thought. I'll get to that whenever we get to the next section. Good. So you guys are definitely with me. You're paying attention. I'm not getting you to fall asleep. The third reason that we talk about why you would look and want a partitioning is for availability standpoint. And this is very similar to maintainability, but it's availability of the application. So you want your database available during partition processing. Again, maybe rebuild an index or rebuild a partition index, do other things across it. We also want to improve your processing. You want to be up 24/7 by 365. How many people have that requirement today, according to their management? Okay, about half of you. That's where we see people are going. They're saying, oh my God, we have to do that. And then rebuild the indexes at the partition level. Exactly, I need to be able to go do that from availability standpoint. So I can isolate that partition and rebuild them at that level. Good. So really when we're talking about this availability, we're talking about concurrency of operations and processing. And do you need this in your world, in your environment? Okay, so shifting gears a little bit on you. Tom Hanks from A League of Our Own, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great. When we review my slides, internal progress, people are like, do you really want to say it's hard? It's not hard. I'm like, exactly, that's the whole point. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for you, and we're trying to make it online so you can do this during the day, during whenever you need to be able to do it, and not have to worry about shutting down your database. For those of you who have dealt with me, my background is it's always been database, but I love DR and business continuity and high availability. And that's all about being up and online all the time. So that's where we're going with this, and the development team's done a really good job of making sure all that stuff's online and available for you.
For being online, there's some other things that are online that for practical purposes are useless, like table move, because the BI change is ridiculous and you can't move anything unless you've got a 10 record table, forget about it.
Yes.
Does this have any of the similar gotchas like that?
The only quote-unquote gotcha that I know about is the concept that when we do things like the index rebuild is a good example. We do lock the partition to rebuild the index. So that partition becomes offline, but the rest of the database becomes online. So in terms of other challenges and limitations, I'm not aware of any at this point in time. That doesn't mean they don't exist, right?
Like
good questions.
The split and the merge utilities are done with the small transaction scoping. So we change the state of that partition to migrate from non-split to being a complete split. So we don't do it in one transaction like we do with TM. You get to specify the size.
Right, you can set the size of the actions.
When you say a partition is offline, what does that look like for somebody looking across the table, across the whole table? Is that very great?
So the question becomes, when that partition is offline, what does that look like to somebody querying across the table? And I don't know the answer to that. Rich?
Yeah, it, you know, again, it depends, right? If your query is looking to get that data, you'll wait. You'll get like a long
pause.
Yes. And, but if your query is only for, let's say, your current data, right, then
no, I'm talking about somebody.
So if you do a for each customer and order the customers offline, then you will wait.
Okay.
So you're applying a block. Okay.
Depending on how it's offline. No, really, because there's long
behaviors
and there's offline behaviors. So,
yeah.
And they are different. One will wait and one will raise an error.
Good, okay. So, shifted, yeah.
Can I assume all of this works seamlessly with that replication?
So the question is that all of this works seamlessly with open edge replication. And as you're doing work on the production database, it moves over to the other database, et cetera. And my initial answer to that would be yes. And Jeff, am I correct?
Yep.
Okay. Jeff Owens is the developer for the replication side. So yep, so we've done work to make that available. Okay, so changing gears a little bit. Let's talk about different types of table partitions that we can have. There are effectively three types. And this is a list. The first type is a list partition. So I've got a list. I've got a field that has a certain set of list of items in it, and I want to partition by that list. The easiest way for me to give you an example of this is to go by the region. So I'm going to partition in my order table by the western region, the northern region, and the southern region. Okay, pretty straightforward. Nothing really fancy about it. Nothing, you know, a lot of people look and this is the way they'll go about it. Make sense?
If you create some bad data and you have the wrong region, does it automatically create a new region to do partition?
So when you create the data, if you have, the question is, if I create some quote unquote bad data and it comes out on the eastern region, you notice the eastern region is not up there, then does it create its own area out here for that region? And the answer is no. It gives you an error that you have bad data, if I'm not mistaken. So it tells you, so
your list better be right.
Well, your list better be right. One of the caveats of dealing with this is, hey, if I'm doing it by list, I better make sure I got the complete list. There's no default list area either.
There's no unknown.
Which is an all-catching. Yeah, there's no unknown. An all-catching. Okay, something to keep in mind as you're doing design. Hopefully you're starting to figure out that there's a lot you need to think about when doing partitioning. It's not hard, but you need to think about some of these different circumstances as you're working through it. Okay, different type. Range partition by a range partition. This gets back to your question, I believe, is I can set up a range. In my example is 2010, 2011, 2012. But I could also set up my range to be 2010, take that 2010, break it out by month. And then 2011, 2012 are set the way they are. It doesn't have to be specific to, they don't have to be all consistent across all the different partitions. Does that kind of?
So like taking that example, the next thing is I'm in production for 2 years, and like I said, I realized that 2011 is growing 10 times the volume. So I want to do 2010, January through September, and then 2010, October through 2011, June. So I'm changing that boundary. So it's not splitting, I'm actually changing the boundary while I'm already in my production cycle.
In order to be able to do that, you would have to take the alternative approach, which is dump and load. Because you're changing the, I see where you were going.
You're changing the structure.
You're almost changing the structure of your partition.
Couldn't you do what you need to do though by first doing splitting to the smallest chunks and then combine back the couple you want to bridge together?
So there's
the other direction. You could merge two chunks and then
do it. Or merge two chunks and then do a split,
There you go. So you can you can either split it up to January, September, October, November to December, and then merge them afterwards, or do it the other way around. Merge them together and then split them. I'm not sure which one would be better. I think it's probably six and one half dozen the other. But that would be an alternative. Excellent. So the third type is you can subpartition by region and by date in this example. So now I've taken my same order table and I've broken it out by the western region in 2010, the northern region 2010, 2010. So I've broken it out by region and by date. Make sense? So now I have multiple criteria that go into my partition and how I design it and how I break it out. Yeah?
You've got dates and then you've got a list. Can you do alphabetical, you know, A through N, you know, on a customer name mm-hmm. or, you know, city or something. And then N through Q, you know, R through Z.
In a second section. So in this example, I have Western, Northern, and Southern. So maybe I want to do A, B, C, D in one area.
Right.
And then D, E, F, G in another. Well, I keep on going through that.
Okay.
That's what you're looking to do?
Yeah.
Something similar to that. I can take all my Western, Northern, Southern, break them all up together. So now I'm doing a range by a list range. Something like that, similar?
Yep.
Good.
Right.
Yes?
How many criteria can you have?
How many criteria can you have?
Well, you say, you know, old region and old days. Can you have, you know,
Is there a limit, Rich?
15. 15? 15. 1-5.
Okay.
You can have defined partitions on 15, 1-5 different columns.
Okay, so the question is, so that it makes sense in the recording, is how many how many subpartitions can I have? And the answer is, or how many different criteria can I subpartition by? And the answer is you can do it by 15, up to 15. And that's a super secret magic number.
15 dimensional.
I have no idea why it's that way.
Because of the index only supports 16 columns.
Columns.
Okay.
So the reason it's only 15 is it only supports 16 columns. So absolutely, that makes sense.
Reason for everything.
There's no reason for everything. Okay, so so that's our three-ish types of partitions that we can set up. Okay, so this is just really, for those of you who don't like pictures, more details of this, so when you get to the slides, you can break it down a little bit more. I think I probably covered about everything in here. Yeah. Okay, so when we talk about data, they're stored in, and you can take the partitions and store them in separate storage areas, but you don't have to. It's really up to you how you want to design that and lay it out. So as we go on, you know, we'll talk about what's your best practice. Typically, you know, we don't know what's going to be good or bad. Generally, I think people will probably break them up into their own areas by partition, but I'm not positive on that. But you can do it either way. From an index standpoint, there've been a lot of questions about indexes. How do I do queries? There's a couple of things that we have in here, and I didn't include slides in here to talk about indexes specifically. And it probably should have, but that's okay. There's a couple of things to understand. Whenever you create a partition, you create what's called a local index for that partition. Let's say if we go back to our example, our order table. My region has got to be the lead part in my index for that partition. And what I would do is, so then when you go out and create the partition, I create an index, what's called a local index for this region, and this region. So I have a local index for each one of the individual regions. So when I go for each customer of my region, where region equals Western, I use that local index, and I only access this region. Make sense? Good. So, but we also have global indexes, which are the indexes you're kind of used to today and deal with today. So I have an index across the whole thing. So, if I go for each order by date, then I would use the global index because I'm accessing across multiple regions. Or if I do something like for each order by region, where region equals Western and Northern, which index do you think I'll use?
Global.
Do you think I'll use the global? I will use the local index for the two. I use each of the locals. So it's yeah, you would think maybe global. And when I first got to it, that's what I thought as well.
What if you throw a word index in?
What if you throw a word index in? So the question is, what if you throw a word index in? You're a brave soul. you cannot partition, well, you can't, first of all, you cannot partition by a word index. Okay? And if I use a word index, since by that definition, a word index is a global index. Yeah, to be.
Can you rebuild online only local indexes, or you can rebuild online both, global and local?
Can I rebuild online the local indexes or both local and global? I'm almost positive it's only local, because we have to lock that partition to rebuild that index. So for a global one, we have to lock them all. And what does that mean? That means we shut down the database.
No, you're right.
I mean, but effectively, that's where if we're rebuilding a global index, we have to lock all the partitions. And in that instance, I guess we can think about it.
Yeah, I guess in order to rebuild the index online, you have to make a table partition of only one partition.
I see where you're going. So your thought is to be able to do an index rebuild online, I can make an index, or I can partition a table as a single partition, which contains all my data. And then I could rebuild the index online. Yeah, I'm not seeing you couldn't from my guys that are out there. So that's an interesting thought. So you can partition every single table.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. Interesting.
I have to spend one.
So let's make a note to test that.
Just keep going back, scrolling down.
Exactly. Yeah, look at that. Oh my God.
I didn't think of that.
Don't let Dimitri have access. Good, good, excellent. That's a very interesting topic. So, local indexes, global indexes. There are also these things called composite indexes. They're typically only used for the migration process, I believe. So you're really dealing with local and global indexes. So the question is you know, we're talking about local versus global indexes, back in the example with the tables. And you know, if I have to rebuild my local index, you know, what chances are that I actually really need to rebuild my global index? You know, and does it make sense? And since we don't have index corruption ever in our database, we don't have to worry about that. So you're right, you may have to rebuild your global versus your local. Part of it is, why do you rebuild your indexes? Part of it is because they become scattered, they're inefficient. So maybe your local index is efficient and your global index isn't, or something other, something the other way around. So you might have to rebuild your global versus your local. It's possible.
The biggest reason for doing the index rebuild, you know, is to retain space.
Gotcha.
You had a lot more records and now you've got a lot fewer, and you want to free that disk space back up. Because with the online index compaction, there hasn't been a need to do it just to make them efficient for years.
Yep. Good point. Good point. Good. Okay, so in all fairness, let's talk a little bit about what might go wrong when you're looking about building this and thinking about it. Maybe you're partitioning for the wrong reason. So think, plan ahead. We have a white paper, Rich wrote a white paper on choosing the right tables and indexes whenever you're building a partition. So that's an important thing for you to know, that you can have access to that. And that talks you through the typical questions you need to answer when you're trying to decide whether you want to rebuild that index or not, or how you want to partition your database. Sorry. So partitioning on the wrong column, you know, maybe partitioning on an update date, which changes on a weekly basis. Well, what happens to that record as you're updating it? It's moving from partition 1 to partition 2 to partition 3, and it's constantly staying updated. So maybe that's not a good choice in terms of an index to rebuild, or a column to choose to build your partition based on. Important to understand that. Incorrect indexing leading components. Again, that white paper talks about how to do what the index requirements are, what you should look for to be able to rebuild that index. Do you have corruption in your database? Maybe you're dealing, you know, remember I talked about Maddie and his 1.9 terabyte database? Maybe someplace out there is one block that is corrupt. Well, guess what happens when we try to partition that block? It doesn't work. It fails. So you have to think about that. And we account for that, we deal with that, but you need to take that into consideration. So maybe if you have a big database and you haven't done DB analysis, or you haven't done something or run the DB tool against it to analyze the data to make sure it's all good, maybe that's a good idea to do from a maintenance standpoint before you move forward. Do you need to repartition it? So maybe I want to change my range set, like you were talking, or I want to partition it based on a different column. What do you have to do then?
Dump and load.
Dump and load, that's right. You have to dump and load your database, or that table. So keep that in mind as you're working through it.
For doing some of the operations against partitions, can I run multiple utilities simultaneously as long as they're going after different partitions? Or is it you can run one against the database at a time?
Since they are effectively isolated processes, you can run multiple, one against each partition. So if I had 10 partitions, I could run 10 index rebuilds on each partition at the same time with the database I've been running and be accessing the rest of the database everywhere else. Good question. Okay, so is partitioning right for you? What do you guys think? Tell me what you think. How many of you think that you need to at least look at it and consider it? Good, I'm glad. That's what I'm glad to see, because I just drew you in, fished you in, because you got sucked in. Questions you want to ask. Do you want to get better performance potentially from some larger specific queries? And we will, as we get to FCS, we'll provide information, additional information on what makes sense and where we see optimizations happening across within the applicant, within the database for queries and stuff like that. Yeah?
So to that question, in a single construct, the beauty of partitioning is the optimizer responds to table space scan, the six partitions, so it will fire off six simultaneous parallel instantiations of that query against all the six partitions that merge the results. Does the same thing happen in problem?
So the question is, so in other tools, other worlds, when you run a query, the SQL optimizer will say, hey, I know I'm going across multiple partitions, let me split it up and run six simultaneously threaded queries against that, and then take the six different result sets, combine them back together, and present them back to the client.
Six times faster.
It's, in theory, takes six times faster. That's a great idea. No, we don't do that today. I do not believe we do that.
No, that's a separate project. I mean, seriously, right? We don't do,
multiple
parallel state execution across tables.
Right.
And so to carry that on, we don't do it across the partitions. For us to do it across the tables or partitions is really a separate project. You should bring it up with the product manager.
So is it currently
if they were only in the room.
That's is it currently on the roadmap?
Yeah, there's a little target right here.
I'm looking at
shit. Yes, it's on the roadmap. Now you will hear it. It's on the roadmap now. So good, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, and obviously, do you have type 2 storage areas? They only work on type 2 storage areas, so if you're not there yet, get there, go there. So, anybody in here running 11.4?
No.
Oh, yes, you're absolutely correct, but you could test with 11.4, right? So I was waiting to see. That was one of the questions. Are you really paying attention? I'll give it to you. So you're right. Nobody's running 11.4 in production today. At least I hope you're not. I guess you could, right? But no. But you can test and you can get into the ESAP program and do the work. So this is really just kind of a high-level summary slide from a marketing standpoint. These are the high bullets you want to really look at when you think about partitioning. I'm going to skip over this. Yeah.
How does this affect licensing?
Doesn't affect licensing. I mean, what do you mean in terms of how does this affect licensing?
Do I need another license?
So table partitioning is an add-on product? Absolutely. So you do have to buy it as a license. It's not a feature of the database. It's a plus one product.
Uh-huh.
And that'll be $1 million per year.
Price is negotiable. I'm talking. So, but no, on a more serious note, when it comes to pricing, come talk to me and tell me what you think is a reasonable price for it. So that's absolutely, I am the product manager. I am doing the pricing right now for it. So your feedback would be really, really helpful. I'll be honest with you.
Can we get this on work group?
Can you get this on work group? No, you can't. And you have to give me your shirt. No better than that. Yeah.
A pattern that I see in the code is a developer will, let's say, find a record, no lock, and then later refind exclusive lock with the row ID. So table partitioning sort of changes the paradigm where a row ID was previously unique in a table, and now it's unique per table partition. So you can have two records in the same table in different partitions with the same row ID because they could be in different storage areas.
Different storage areas.
So how do we deal with that?
Interesting. I don't know, Rich.
We've extended row ID, so the use of rec ID, it's really, if you're talking about rec ID,
correct,
is unique. But the row ID is extended to include internally
partition ID.
Partition information.
Wow.
And there are tools, like I have an example of some tools that you can dissect that if you care about. But yeah, you don't have to worry if you're using row IDs and you receive a row ID, you go get that row ID, it's going to get a proper row associated with that partition.
So if we have that pattern in our code, we don't need to change the code.
Do not need to change the code.
Which is really the answer you were wanting to get
right
to.
Yeah.
If you're using row IDs and not rec IDs, rec IDs are completely deprecated here. They're not, don't support them for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And is it only with the new versions of, does it even work with the older versions of?
No, it works with OpenEdge 11.4 and above. So you need to be on OpenEdge 11.4.
Even though you have a Type 2 for the older
versions? Even though you have a Type 2. Yeah, we did not backport it to other releases, to previous releases. Good. So remember to go back to our original, just a quick summer up, because we're almost out of time. What problem are you trying to solve? The original three discussions we talked about. You know, we need to get more data, more out of our database and our applications. They're not asking us to give them less these days. The data, that darn data, just keeps complicating our world, making our world harder to deal with. So we're struggling, continue to struggle to move forward. So the question becomes, can partitioning help solve that problem with maintainability, availability, and potentially performance? You can help hopefully solve that problem. I have three action items for you. You didn't know you were going to get homework, did you? The first one is go to Rich's talk this afternoon in this room at 3:30. The second one is to go join the ESAP program. Get out there, work with table partitioning. Give us feedback. Let us know what you like, what you want else, what else you want in terms of future stuff. And the third one is read the white paper. So if you're looking for how do I join the ESAP program, there it is right there. The easiest way to do it, you can send me email. Or you can just send an email to early-software-admin@progress.com. And we will get back to you and help you get the information pulled out and register for it. And our ESAP program will run all the way through SES through sometime in August. Probably beyond that as well. Okay? And then there are three other resources that you can go access. And these are all available from the Progress website. There are two case studies on customers that have looked at partitioning and have offered their opinions. One is Quantel, one is MIP Holdings in South Africa. So those are all published out there. And then there's the white paper that I told you that Rich had written about choosing the right table for table partitioning. And if you do join the ESAP program, you automatically get access to the community's access for that as well. So there's other information that comes out there that we deal with. So of course these slides are going to be available online as well, so you guys can get access to them. With that, I'm around all day today and tomorrow, so you can ask me, ask any of the other Progress people. Most of the people that are here will be able to talk to you about it as well. So thank you very much for your time. Enjoy your lunch. One of the things